Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Pass the peas like you used to say. Pass the peas like you used to say. Pass the peas like you used to say.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Think of indie rock and food, and you might think grubby bars, greasy snacks, and cans of cheap beer. But lately, there's a growing movement that joins the seemingly disparate passions of indie music and gourmet food. Today, we'll find out how and why. Joining us is Sam Mason. He's a chef whose resume includes the Lower East Side restaurant WD50. He's also host of Dinner with the Band, an online show in which he invites a band to his apartment to cook, play music, and eat. Also with us is Kara Zuaro, who is author of a new indie rock cookbook out today called I Like Food, Food Tastes Good. Features over 100 recipes from bands, including one that we'll sample here in the studio today. Sam, let me begin with you. It seems on the surface that, you know, the passions for indie rock and gourmet food would be, you know, not necessarily compatible. Why are we seeing just that happening?
Well, let me start by saying I'm very passionate about greasy food and cheap beer as well. But I mean, as far as the indie music and the gourmet food, I think everyone likes to eat well. I don't know. I think, you know, especially when you're on the road a lot, I think you get to see a lot of the worst food on the planet, and I think that would probably lend you to wanting something better.
Now, Kara, that brings us to the topic of your book, which is, you know, bands actually giving you the recipes. You compile them from bands like, you know, the Decemberists' pork loin with poblano chilies and Death Cab for Cutie's disgusting sounding veggie sausage and peanut butter sandwich, which you maintain actually tastes good.
It tastes much better than it sounds.
So, is that what's happening here? Is these poor souls are schlepping around the country and they're eating fast food, and when they do get a chance to have a home-cooked meal, they really go for it?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I think that these bands spend a lot of their time just sitting in their minivan that their friend is driving, and all they have to really think about is their next show and their next meal. So, and a lot of them also work in restaurants on their time off. So I think that's where some of the better recipes come from.
All right. Now, your book is named after a song, and in fact, it is this song by the Descendants.
I like food. Food tastes good. I like food. Food tastes good. Juicy burger, juicy fries. Too late, baby, about this time. Too late, good, what type of two? Got my way, or I'll eat you. I like food. Food tastes good. I like food. Food tastes good. Just in time, back and eating. I like food. Food tastes good. I like food. Food tastes good.
So, Kara, how does the rock lifestyle influence the types of food that these bands tended to give you recipes for?
Well,
you got lots of hangover cures, you know, morning after kinds of recipes?
There are a couple of those. There's one called Cheesy Sleazy from Silkworm, which is eggs and toast and refried beans and onions and sausage and kind of whatever you have thrown into a pan. there are a few that are more the kind of recipes they make when they go home, recipes from their moms, some baked goods, some more gourmet dishes like the Violent Femmes Wild Boar Ragu.
Yeah, Wild Boar Ragu. I mean, Sam, that sounds like something that could appear on, you know, one of your menus.
We might be able to do that. I need to get this book right now.
So have you took a quick gander at the book beforehand?
I did.
I mean, you know, some of the recipes are fairly complex. Others are, you know, just this side of open the cream of mushroom soup can and sprinkle crumbled potato chips on top.
Yeah, it's a lot of diverse content. I was very surprised. I will. It comes out today, you said, correct?
It comes out today.
That's exciting stuff.
So now, Sam, on your show, you have the bands actually come in, but you still do the cooking, right?
I do. Well, I mean, they interact with me as well. You know, a lot of the recipes come not from them, but via their likes and dislikes, and, you know, maybe something their mother made, and whatnot. So I like to have them interact as much as possible.
Does that? I mean, are they?
I don't give them sharp knives.
I was just going to say, are they chopping? And
no, they're just kind of
they're just hanging.
Yeah.
And drinking and eating.
Yeah, it's easier to engage people in conversation, I think, when you slip them something to do.
Where did you get Where did the idea for this come from? I can see what Kara, Kara has, musicians like dropping in and sleeping on her floor and stuff. She's going to make them some breakfast. I can see where that came from. Where did you get the idea to do a show like this?
It was actually Darren, the producer, Darren Bresnitz. It was his brainchild, and he worked on it for a long time, from what I understand, and finally put together enough money to do his own pilot, which we did 2 years. It's probably been 2 years now, and it was really a makeshift pilot. It was something else. And finally, someone decided to put some money behind it, and it worked out really well.
And now there are a number of episodes that are online, mm-hmm. on the On Network.
On the On Network, yeah.
Okay.
Austin-based media company.
Sam Mason is the host of Dinner with the Band and is soon to open his own Soho restaurant called Taylor. Kara Zawaro is also here. She is the author of I Like Food, Food Tastes Good, and that book is out today. I took a copy home last night, Kara, and, just in a couple of minutes of free time, whipped up, whose recipe? This is Maserati.
It's Maserati.
A Southern rock band.
From Athens, Georgia.
And their recipe is for Southern cheese grits. Now, I like cheese and I like grits. I had both handy, so I whipped up a batch, and I thought it was okay. I thought it was a pretty good, if basic, recipe. Let's listen to a little bit of the band, and you guys can actually taste a little bit of what I concocted and see what you think. The band is called Maserati, the song is Keep It Gold, and while you were listening to that, my guests, author Kara Zawaro and chef and host of the online show Dinner with the Band, Sam Mason, were tasting the Maserati recipe for Southern cheese grits, and suddenly both of them are reaching for the water. Am I supposed to read into that, Sam?
I like water a lot. No, these boys can cook, and you did a great job.
Well, it's not easy to do grits the night before and then have them not turn into
Ever done that before.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's what I found interesting, Kara, is the idea of cheese and grits, not unusual. Lots of cheese in this recipe, mm-hmm. and black pepper, which for some reason I would not have thought for a breakfast food.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's great. And a lot of these bands I found when they're coming over to my house late night after shows are eating their breakfast at 3 o'clock in the morning. So maybe that makes the savory and the spicy kind of makes a little more sense.
Well, and I'm one of those people who loves breakfast any time of the day. For folks who are interested, this recipe from the band that we were just hearing, Maserati, seems pretty foolproof. If I was able to do this last night and it's still palatable today, you can find it on our website. It's on the soundcheck page, wnyc.org. Of course, you can find it in the book, which is out today. The book is called I Like Food, Food Tastes Good. Sam, the pilot episode of your show, Dinner with the Band, featured Pella, this Brooklyn-based band.
Yes, indeed.
For whom you cooked paella and ceviche. Paella, I guess I can see. It's almost the name Pella, misspelled slightly.
That was one of the more rudimentary pairings of a recipe in a band. I don't intentionally, try to coin any kind of a recipe with the band. Usually it's, Darren does a lot of research and he finds out likes and dislikes and maybe, anecdotes from the road that would make sense. And that's usually where the pairings come from. Yeah, the Pella, that was kind of a kitschy thing.
And is it ceviche or ceviche?
Ceviche.
Ceviche. Yeah. That's the raw fish thing.
Yeah, it's fish, but it's cooked via acids. And,
right, with lemon juice or vinegar or something like that. All right, so, but do you look for, is there some, Is there some way in which loud, fast guitar signals spicier food to you and mellower music suggests something that's not quite as assertive?
You might think so, but it doesn't work out like that. It seems like I think the hardest band we've had on the show were vegetarians, and it ended up being probably one of the more delicate recipes, which is kind of strange. All big right. Teddy bears.
Vegetarians.
Yeah, not in general, but this group.
Well, I mean, Kara, in your book, there is a whole chapter of vegan or vegetarian recipes. Mm-hmm. From looking this over, it seems like there is a fairly substantial minority of indie rockers out there who are, in fact, vegetarian.
Yeah, there are a lot of vegetarians in the community, and I think that people that are vegetarians, especially if they're on the road all the time, really have to learn how to cook. So if there was a vegetarian in the band, that was usually the person who gave me a recipe.
It must be impossible to eat on the road as a vegetarian. Yeah. I mean,
it's Taco
imagine?
Bell bean burritos every day.
Oh, that's not good traveling food.
Hence the importance of those breakfast recipes where, you know, I mean, oatmeal mm-hmm. and grits and mm-hmm. stuff like that. It's pretty readily available. You can eat it virtually any time. Sam, we have had kind of a combination of chefs and composers here in the studio before. Daniel Boulud came in with the classical composer Richard Danielpour. And, you know, that's like one kind of collaboration of the arts of fine music and fine food. What about the idea of, you know, going towards the other end of the spectrum with, you know, with you and these indie rock bands?
Danielle, that's amazing. You know, that's unbelievable. I'm not really sure. My phone was ringing. And it kind of threw me off.
Oh, is that what that weird noise was?
I told you I was going to have. As far as the indie rock bands go, I missed that whole question. Listen to that phone.
All right. So, Daniel Boulud, you know,
yep,
very fancy upper crust,
very fancy,
kinda,
nice guy,
restaurant,
nice guy. We like Daniel a lot.
And classical music. You know, seems like a natural pairing. What's the image that you are putting out there? I mean, you look at this show, Dinner with the Band. You've got more tattoos than most of the guys in the bands. I mean, it seems like you're, you know, very much in that that milieu.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that's by default. That's not necessarily the way I want to be perceived, but I guess it works, especially on TV and whatnot. I mean, I do enjoy indie music a lot, and I think I'd like to promote indie music as best I can. But for the most part, I'm pretty dynamic when it comes to music. And
what do you listen to when you're cooking? I mean, what's going on behind those swinging doors?
We are a very musically based kitchen as far as the way we work. I mean, we have to have music at all points, you know, in time. And it goes anywhere from Frank Zappa to you know, Hank Williams, Waylon Jennings, like a lot of country music in the kitchen, which mostly classic country, and the Pretenders, Talking Heads, it jumps around. It gets kind of nerve-wracking. It jumps around so much.
Now, Kara, in putting this book together, I Like Food, Food Tastes Good, you tested every one of these recipes, right?
I did.
Do you have a favorite?
One of my favorites is Patrick Phelan's lobster mac and cheese. It's a really good one, and it's labor-intensive, but it's just one of those recipes where it's really worth all the work.
Mm-hmm. What about, the idea of the breakfast? I mean, you have this really kind of funny intro to the breakfast chapter about the importance to the working musician mm-hmm. of having a place to crash and then, you know, the prospect of an actual meal before hitting the road the next day.
Right. It's a big luxury for them to be able to have that. And it's, you know, it's tricky because these shows are on weeknights and you have to deal with your host has to go to work the next day. Sometimes you're crashing with someone who doesn't mention that they live with their parents still. You know, I've heard so many crazy stories. Death Cab for Cutie had a night where there was somebody playing didgeridoo all night and they couldn't sleep. There's some kind of crazy hippie flute going on. So, you know, they having a good meal on the way out is just the best thing, I think.
All right. Well, on page 6 of the book, you refer to Dr. Dog's song Wake Up as maybe the best breakfast anthem of all time. Here it is.
I just laid there and I was born at the scene of a crime.
every witness, well, he was deaf and dumb and blind.
Dr. Dog's Wake Up, which, according to Karaswaro, author of the new book I Like Food, Food Tastes Good, is one of the great breakfast anthems of all time. We're also speaking with Chef Sam Mason, who is soon to open his new restaurant, Taylor, in Soho. And when people walk into Taylor, will they be hearing chamber music, string quartets? Will they be hearing Hank Williams? Will they be hearing Frank Zappa?
I think we'll keep it. We'll keep it very, very dynamic, I think. I mean, it's hard. I think that's going to be one of the hardest parts about the restaurant is cultivating a music vibe. Mm-hmm. And I find that a lot of restaurants don't really do a great job. It's usually whatever hostess has an iPod with her, and it doesn't really ring true usually.
Right.
So people get paid a lot of money to put together those song lists. I'm starting to learn.
Right. Well, we're looking at the connections between the indie music scene and gourmet food. And if you'd like to join in the discussion, I mean, if you're a rocker with a good recipe, maybe you wouldn't mind sharing it with us. You can give us a call at 212-264-7483, 212-264-7483, or email us soundcheck@wnyc.org. Kara, there's a lot of these bands you mentioned, you know, in the book that some of the moms actually came up with the recipes. Mm-hmm. Is that a way that, you know, Dr. Dog, for example, kind of stays in contact with his mom, who might have mixed feelings about the way her son is crisscrossing the country and making a living?
Yeah, I spoke to Zach's mom, and she was talking about how, you know, she's like, I'd love to go see one of his shows, but he keeps playing in the middle of the night on a weekday. You know, how am I supposed to make it? She was just such a sweet person and was definitely supportive of his band, though she didn't quite understand their schedule. But when they were going to be on Conan, she was the person who sent me an email about it. She was so excited.
Yeah.
So I think where the rock and roll bands might be a kind of a rebellion when the kids are growing up. And now it's with the book, every time I hand it to somebody, they say, I can't wait to give a copy to my mom.
All right. Well, let's see what some of our listeners have to say. Scott Alexander joining us from Brooklyn. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
So you are a rocker yourself?
I am. I'm an underappreciated rock star in Brooklyn, and also one of those crazy vegans you were just mentioning. I actually give out cookies at all of my performances that happen to be so tasty and vegan, and I actually, due to popular demand, have recently put all of those recipes on my website, scottalexandermusic.com, with a bunch of others.
Excellent.
Now, Kara, are you going to need, I know the book just came out today, are you going to need to do a second edition to get people like Scott to cough up with some of these recipes
we'll have to
for
keep
you?
In touch for sure. I don't know what's next yet, but I'd like to.
I got cookies at a show once, and they were kind of, they made me feel funny.
Not vegan, huh?
Not vegan cookies.
Sam, it seems like, you know, chefs and restaurateurs, they've become sort of like rock stars these days.
Yeah. I guess so. I mean, I don't know if I guess it's working out for me, but I don't know if I necessarily want to use that. I mean, I've worked for people in the past who have gone that route. I don't say names anymore because it just makes me look bad. But and sometimes it can be a negative, you know, aspect of it. It starts to look like you're just using that, you know, your image when you should really probably be cooking a little more.
Well, I mean, this guy Jamie Oliver, you know, over in England.
Jamie does a great job. He does a really good job.
The Naked Chef.
Yeah, he always has clothes on, though.
But he had himself a band that for a while was signed to a major record label. So there really has been some kind of crossover. Do you think it's a generational thing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Danielle probably plays an instrument. He might have played one here with you, but I don't think it was a electric guitar or anything.
No.
No, I just think it's chefs are finally starting to be looked at, like you said, in the media as these, you know, superstars. And I think they go hand in hand. You know, I think every rock star wants to cook, and every chef wants to be a rock star. And it's been like that for a while.
And Kara, the rock world certainly has come a long way from, you know, 20 years ago when The Who's drummer Keith Moon was famously banned from restaurants on tours because of his behavior. I mean, now you got all these, you know, these polite vegan rockers touring the country in their biodiesel-fueled vehicles and stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
So it really is, it has been a kind of a changing of the guard. What's next? What do you think? Is this a fad? Is it a genuine trend that might take us someplace new in the future?
Well, I think that, as we were saying, that bands have been into food for a long time. There are a lot of vegetarians that need to cook for themselves. A lot of people work in restaurants. But now I feel like some of the fans are getting as interested in food as the bands are. I think that's kind of where the trend is, where it's, you know, it's cool to have the new indie bands on your iPod. It's also cool to know where the great new restaurant is.
And there's that sense of community that indie rock is built upon, and to know that this recipe comes from this particular band that's on your iPod that you really like, maybe it makes the food taste better
somehow.
The book is called I Like Food, Food Tastes Good, subtitled In the Kitchen with Your Favorite Bands, from the Decembrists to Calexico to Ted Leo and the Pharmacists and They Might Be Giants and many, many others. The book is out today. Kara Zawaro, thank you for joining us this afternoon on Soundcheck.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
And Sam Mason is the host of Dinner with the Band, which is on the On Network online, and the restaurant Taylor, soon to open in Soho. Sam, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you for having me.
And glad to see that you enjoyed the grits there.
Yeah, I'm taking them with me.
All right. This is Soundcheck.
Those on my plate, asparagus tips look yummy, yummy, yummy.
Candy M's inside my tummy.
A collage of good eats. Some snacks, some nice treats.
Applesauce and some nice red beets.
This is what we snacked on when we're questing.
No second guessing. I don't eat no Hermes.
Come on with your heart.
Cholesterol.
I dig it, dig it, dig it.
Do you eat them? No tip, do you eat them?